You have notes?
Well, I had to write down what I thought if I had a chance of getting a hold of something. Here were the two things you said about.
Yeah, you're prepared?
No, I just didn't want to forget. And, of course, last night, like at 3 in the morning, I woke up and could remember, like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good one. I remember that. Now I get up and I'm like, fuck, I can't remember what it was.
Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of the phone lines is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing today, Joe?
You woke me up, you bastard. You really are.
I'll let people know that it's what? Almost 11 o'clock.
I'm different, baby.
Yeah, it's still 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock!
Oh.
I did an overnight shift last night, and I was up at 11 o'clock.
And the sad thing is, I was up all night trying to work on notes for this year's podcast, because Corey came up with a gosh darn swell idea, and I thought I'd actually humor him. But I'm not wearing pants. I'll only go so far.
Damn it. So, Joe's pantsless as we go into this episode.
Well, I am wearing a rather stylish set of Homer Simpson boxers.
Well, this show is brought to you by Homer Simpson boxers. This show is brought to you by DreamHost.com.
Yes. And if you were in Alaska, it would still be the best damn web host in the whole known and unknown universe.
And if you go to their website and put in the code CRAZ, you get $20 off the first year. And if you would like to advertise on this here podcast, go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. You can also email us at that same address. Joe, tell them about the Facebook.
That's what you set up,
isn't it?
It is. It is. It's the official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page. And it has a very, very stylish photo of myself and Uncle Rat Bastard on there. So if you were to go in there and use that old search that Facebook has and just put Crazy Comics, that's K-R-A-Y-C Comics, you'll find us. And you can join us for free. We have 84 likes, which is really interesting because compared to how many downloads we get, that's a fraction.
A small fraction.
Of what we have. So we thank you for indulging us. And of course, I suppose if we posted more things on the podcast, it might be, page, it might be more interesting. But unfortunately, Corey's been working his fingers to the bone, to the nub. Tell him about your 2 days off there, Corey.
Well, hold on. They can also leave us a voicemail.
If you leave
the voicemail, they email it to me. And that number is 952.
You don't have time to answer email. Nope.
952-856-0519. Do it!
Get on your desk. Corey ain't got no money. He's paying for this long-distance podcast. What is it, $3?
The last one went over $5.
Oh, well, don't talk so much.
So people start buying some ads.
Yeah. Or do what I do.
There's also a
Kickstarter. Take the favorite underemployed person out for dinner.
There's also a Kickstarter. Well, we don't, but I on the solo podcast, I interviewed the people doing World War Kaiju, which is a great, fun book. I've seen a lot of the art. It's by the people who did the comic Titanium Rain and the Ultimates. And I'm just going to head on over to the Kickstarter to see where they are. They need $15,000 to complete production of the art. They are at $12,810 with 22 days to go. So get out there and pledge, people.
Not Lemon Pledge.
I want this book.
I like Lemon Pledge.
I want this book. The premise of the book is, rather than atomic bombs, the world created Godzilla-type monsters. And the Joe, you'll like the ad line for the book. What if Dr. Strangelove created Godzilla?
He'd ride him down on top of the city.
So there, all the plugs are out of the way.
Oh, thank God. That's always painful. We should do like the movie, Pete. The movie does, and just have the plugs at the very end, and then at the very, very tail end, have like a kicker or something so people listen.
I like doing it more like Art of Wrestling, where he gives them right up front and then goes into what he's doing. Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana, one of the podcasts I really like. And because he's a professional wrestler, most of his ads are for his own merch.
Like when I'm home and I start pimping my eBay stuff.
Right. And I'm wondering if maybe we should do some t-shirts.
I don't know. I don't think it would look good on a t-shirt saying, I'm a Corey Strode kind of guy.
No. It's I'm
People
a Corey Strode
like
guy,
cultish.
Just like I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Oh, right. The weather here in Dillingham, cloudy with a little bit of sun. Just for you guys. It's actually been really nice up here. We're not baking like the rest of the country is.
So you finally opened the window and let the sun hit you in the face?
Well, see, the beauty part about it, the sun only hits my part of the hotel at this particular time, and it goes through what I would guess call an equipment shed. So it's like it goes through one window, streams over a bunch of pipes and like a lawnmower, and then comes through the window and hits my little part of the kitchen here. Because largely I guess for lack of a better word, efficiency apartment here doesn't have any real windows. It's like they kind of just, I'm not sure how you'd say it. It's like they built a bed and breakfast around a house, and they kind of turned a few rooms, what would have been like a room, into a one of the actual apartments. They actually have a really, really super nice, they call it the honeymoon suite upstairs, which is huge and has a hot tub and goes out under the deck and you can look out under the Bristol Bay area. But, yeah, for me, I'm just in a little efficiency apartment. It's enough for what I need.
Well, here's my question. Here's my question.
Okay.
When does the sun come up and when does it go down?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it. It does actually turn dark now. 10 o'clock or 11, you can kind of hear kids out on the court playing basketball still.
Matter of fact, we're going to start off with what we normally close with. Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking about?
I'm in Alaska. And,
still?
That's pretty much it. Actually, the one bummer about being here is that I missed two family reunions. One of them was my cousin. He's David Anderson. He's on Facebook too. He tours sometimes with the Atlantic Rhythm Section. I think there's one or two band members left, and they do the casino circuits, you know, where they go to the Indian places. And they came up to Minnesota, and all the relatives got together and saw him in concert. And, I mean, he's a very, very talented guy in his own right. Like most musicians and even comic artists, he's of the age where he realizes he's not going to break out and be a star. But he's making a living at it, so he's happy. And right now he reformed with a band he was part of, Brother Kane, and they're touring. I think they're hanging around the southeast area of the country. Like I said, he come up, and all the relatives, most of the relatives from my mom's side of the family got together, and I missed it. And even now, as we speak, on my dad's side of the family, there's another family reunion up in Ely, Minnesota, where a lot of my relatives came from. And granted, they are closer to me than they would have been had they stayed in St. Paul, you know, about 200, 300 miles closer to Alaska. But, you know, again, I'm missing it. It's just one of those things. I don't know if it's because I've been reading pro wrestling books or, you know, thinking about my buddies in the military. But I just keep thinking, you know, I've missed a lot of things being on the road. I mean, it's been rewarding and I've seen a lot of things, but I'm tired. I want to get off. So that's kind of what's freaking me. That and, you know, I'm missing San Diego. I can't catch any of the announcements because the internet addresses I would normally go to don't seem to be functioning this far north. Comic Book Resources, Bleeding Cool, Newsarama. So I've heard a little bit out of San Diego, and I've seen some things, you know, go on. I mean, some of the exclusives go on sale. And, of course, somebody inevitably has their bag of swag that they'll throw up.
If they're going to throw up their bag of swag, Joe, I think they need to quit eating the hot dogs there at the convention center.
No,
crickets are away.
An article up on Facebook where somebody's saying everybody smells and they need a good bath.
Well, I remember that.
And, even the AC in that place just can't get the fanboy smell gone.
And as I always do every year, my public service announcement, ladies, I know the chainmail bikini looks awesome, but one word to keep you from doing it. Chafing.
Pinching.
Why don't we talk about San Diego next week? We'll just go over all the news and what we're excited about.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll even take notes.
Well, then out of 111 episodes, that'll be two times you've made notes.
I usually have notes.
Maybe you're turning over a new leaf. Maybe you'll finally read those Spider-Man comics.
You know, you're going to make me take my boxes off, aren't you?
You know, Joe, in the Spider-Man comic, he's not married anymore.
Yeah, right. What, he makes some deal with the devil or something?
Oh, and you know what else? He graduated high school.
You know, you got to work on your lies. You got to make a better lie.
Now I think I'll really freak Joe out. Oh, yeah, and he's a black kid.
Oh, I knew that. I read Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm not totally barbaric. What's freaking you out, old man of the nonstop work week?
Well, they said they'd hired new people and I'd get some days off. Well, guess what? Already the new people are calling in sick and calling in, I have a problem and I can't make it tonight. dear God. The other freaking thing is actually a follow-up to last week. You know how I was being put on work restriction and I might not have a job? Well, I emailed the HR department at the new company. And one of my coworkers said, well, why didn't you call the HR department to hear? She's still going to be working. And I said, well, I was at the big company-wide meeting, and the HR person at the company now, let's just say I know more than she does. By a lot. And during the meeting, people would ask her questions, and she would do the, you know, how if you don't know the answer, you're going to tap dance for time and talk until maybe you think the person has lost interest and you don't have to answer the question. She was doing a lot of that, but then the HR people from the new company were there, so they would break in and give the answer. So if you're doing that at a big company meeting and your supervisors are cutting you off to give the answer you should have given, make sure your resume is up to date and on careerbuilder.com, okay, folks? So I emailed the HR folks at the new company.
I've wondered about that because I've seen that so many times that people don't know the answer. It's like the worst thing that people can say. Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, or I love you. You know, it's like there's a certain phrase that people hate to say. And I've never been that way. If I don't know the answer, I usually will tell people, you know, I don't know the answer. Let me get your name number. I'll get back to you. And then I always have a pocket notebook with me that I usually will write down the question, you know, so I can try to at least get back. You know, and it depends on the question, too. I mean, a lot of times, especially working TSA, people are like, well, what is that? I don't know. Somebody tried to take a plane down with one. That's why we don't let you through with it. So these are easy at home. But, you know, and sometimes I just got to shrug my shoulder and say, you know, the decision was made above my pay grade. I just got to enforce it. So.
Now, Joe, we're getting off topic here, but you know how on the ticket that you have, if you have on your airplane ticket, what is it, $4 signs or something? You're always pulled aside for the extra search.
You're what they call a selectee.
Now, I have two questions.
A selectee was just, they had lots of different things that would trigger a selectee. Like, if you came up at the last minute, bought a ticket. If you came up, paid cash. If you were going one way. If you, looked like a graying man with a beard that worked too many hours at a group home. You know, certain things would trigger a selectee. And they have since, realized you get things like, okay, there was a delayed flight. They had to cancel it. They're rebooking everybody. Well, all these people just rebook under 24 hours. So suddenly you have a 747 full of selectees. And you're like, how does that help security, you know? And so they've really, really tightened why people will be selectees. It's almost like nowadays, if you have those magic S's, you've probably done something stupid at one time, like gotten real drunk and hit somebody or caused a disturbance, or you might be a known felon, or you just, you know, pissed off the ticket agent. You know, there are, again, I don't know, because all the decisions that trigger a selectee are done way above my pay grade. You know, I'm sure by doing a podcast about comic books and saying things like, you know, explosions, terrorists, NSA, White House, you know, which will trigger the NSA to actually listen to your conversation, that's the type of bullshit that will make you suddenly become a selectee. And then,
well,
like Corey said, you go through
on your way
and
home.
You do. Or even if you say things like, you know, Pi, Christina Hendricks, Charles Nelson Reilly, Blue P.
And Blue
P. That alone, that Blue P will get you every time. But I wish we could find some of that. I really want to do that.
Now, my second question about the four S's, do sometimes they put the four S's on the hot, busty young babes so that TSA agents can enjoy their shift a little more?
Actually,
wow,
that's,
I made Joe silent.
That was actually an allegation, which I guess was proven, because they have these guys, what they call BDOs, behavior detection officers, and I'm torn about the program because I read the science behind it. There was an article in Nature magazine where they say the guy who invented this program sold it initially to the police department, the idea being that you give off these subconscious triggers that police can pick up on, or the trained observer can pick up on, and that will kind of give away somebody who's trying to do something. Not necessarily a terrorist act, you know, it could be a drug dealer, it could be somebody human trafficking, whatever. The police eventually got to the point where it was like, you know what, this is kind of BS, and they don't subscribe to it. Now, the other problem was is the scientists in question would not release his findings to the rest of the scientific community because they have this thing called peer review, which means, yeah, I studied what he did. I didn't come up with the same conclusions, or I did come up with the same conclusions. Therefore, we'll make it a valid theory. And the reason he didn't do that was because he didn't want the criminals to know how to defeat the system. And so here we are, fast forward. He sold the program to Homeland Security. They've taken it and run with it. Still has not released the scientific findings to the other scientific community for peer review because then the terrorists wouldn't know what we're looking for. But I do know that some of the guys that are in this program that I've talked with, there actually are things that will set things off. And, you know, I talked to one guy and he actually busted up apparently an FBI undercover thing going on. And what happened was is people showed up at an airport and they were just kind of got out of the car and they were just kind of milling around, and he called the cop over and he said, look at these guys. And the cop looked at him, agreed. They went over, confronted him, and then one of the guys angrily came towards the TSA guy and flashed a badge and said, you just ruined it. FBI stinks. So he goes, ruined it? He said, you guys are rank amateurs. So what do you mean? I said, well, you show up, you get out of your car, you're at an airport, you're not doing anything airport-like, you're not even looking at the monitors to see when the screens are to pretend you're trying to pick someone up, you got no luggage, and you're just sticking out like a sore thumb. Five-year-old kid could have spotted you guys don't belong here. And that's something that I've seen time and time again. I mean, there were some drug dealers busted, I think, in Minneapolis, and they were questioned quite highly as to, well, how the hell are you getting drugs through if we're doing so much screening? And they're like, oh, it's easy. And, you know, one of the things they talked about is you can always spot a federal air marshal on a plane because they're the only ones in first class not drinking. They're the only ones in first class sitting across from each other in the aisle, and they're the only ones talking. Nobody talks to anybody across the aisle, especially when you're loading the plane. You know, very rarely you'll see it. I mean, even if your friend is across the aisle, you guys don't spend the flight talking to each other. Because it's just things that tip people off, like, there's something about those two. So... And all this, you know,
well, I don't lie with
anybody. Thinks I'm revealing national secrets and going to run to Russia to go to Bolivia for the rest of my life. It's all online. It's Google is shit, you know?
So getting back to my story.
Yes, you were meeting here, freaking, I believe.
Yes, I emailed the folks at the new company who are buying this up in about 10 days and say, this is what happened. And they were very nice. They actually emailed me back on a Sunday afternoon to say, don't worry about it. Just go to your doctor. We're glad we're glad you found out about it. We're glad you're motivated to get it looked at. Just go to your doctor. All we need is a letter saying that you are undergoing treatment and everything's fine. So I went to the doctor Friday. And he said, so you didn't eat for 8 hours before coming in. And I went, no, I actually ate on the way here because I'm getting off a 11-hour shift and I'm a bit peckish. And he said, oh, well, we needed to do blood labs. Why did you eat? And I said, because no one told me not to. Oh, well, come back on Monday and don't eat before coming in. But I'm not doing the weightlifting anymore, Joe. I'm not doing the weightlifting anymore. That's what I'm freaking on. I can't lift weights until my blood pressure drops.
Yeah, they got a pill for that.
So, Joe, what are you geeking on? What's exciting you? What are you going, ooh, cool?
This also kind of cut. I'm starting to read Earth X again.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't read it in a while. I brought it. I forgot how morose the book is.
Oh, it's really depressing. And if you haven't been reading Marvel Comics for 30 years, you probably shake your head and go, what the hell is all of this? I don't, huh? What is this?
And it also suffers from what a lot of books that aim to write about the future. It suffers from, wait a minute, you said Bucky wasn't alive. He is alive. You know, and you would think if the Watch isn't as damn good as you think he is, he would have said, well, Bucky would resurface later. But that's not important now, because you get a lot of that in this book where the Watcher is just kind of dismissing, you know, he's almost talking in contradiction, you know. But if you are a Marvel guy who's big on the trivia, I would, it's worth picking up. I think this is a copy I picked up when I was hanging in the Shenandoah Valley. I think they had it for $5 or $12. Because my original copy was the big graffiti design book. That was, you know, I had a picture of X-15 on there, or 51 on the cover. And I don't even think I opened mine. I think eventually I just sold it.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, you know, it's too big to read. But I did pick that up. I started plowing through it. And, of course, I do have Universe X, Volume 1 and 2. And I guess isn't there something beyond that, Paradise X or something?
Let's see.
I'll have to figure it out.
Earth X, Paradise X, and then Universe X.
So Paradise X, I'm supposed to read before Universe X?
I think so. I'd have to look online.
Yeah, I'll look it up. It don't matter. I'm going to read them anyways. It's all I got. Another thing I've really been geeking on is a website called GoComics.com, and it has a plethora of comic strips, including ones
Oodles.
That I absolutely love. They have Dilbert, the Peanuts. I've been getting into, I think it's called Nine Chicken Lane or something. Same artist does one called Big Born. They have reruns of The Norm, Liberty Meadows. I can't say what it was. His name, Breathed Berkeley. I did Bloom County. They have his college strip up called The Academia Waltz, as well as all the other fun ones that I've read in the past, like Foxtrot, Fuzzy, Boondocks. And you go to gocomics.com, it pops up with the comic strip of the day. Then you have choices. It actually can go to comics. They list some political comics. I will load up the comic list. Excuse me. First thing that comes up is like 30 comics that everybody subscribes to, and you can subscribe to them. And then they list all the comics A to Z, and you can just go through. I mean, I'm just finding all sorts of comics that are just cute. I mean, there's one called Little Lost Dog, got a little cute puppy and a cratchy little tortoise. And it's not like the dog is looking to go home. He's just kind of wandering the countryside. A lot of talking animals. Some comic strips that at one time I couldn't stand, and now I've kind of enjoyed the charm of it. Fred Bassett, which I think is still in the paper. Now, when you go to these, you can also load up, like, past strips. So sometimes when I'm bored, I'll load up, like, the Academic Waltz. I just went and started at December 1st. I think I did hope for the beginning of the year, and just went forward and just read them, and then a little calendar pops up and you just click on the date and it can go forward. Some of my faves are on there, like Basic Instinct, The Last Kiss, that they don't publish. Tom the Dancing Bug, they don't publish daily, so you just, whenever it pops up new, you can go ahead and read it. But it's been a lot of fun. If you like comic strips, you can actually go. Like I said, I've been doing the free version, and for a while, for $11, at least it was when I signed up, you can actually have them emailed to you. So when you open up your email, there you get a list of all your comic strips, and you can read them in one fell setting. And I will probably do that eventually, because I figure if you really like something online, you should support it. And a better way to support it, other than clicking on ads, is to actually pay for it. And I came to that because conclusion.
Because nobody's paying us.
Because that's true. But then again, you did have a $20 bill for the longest time in your pocket that mysteriously vanished as soon as we got lawyers involved. Well, we're not supposed to talk about that. Just one of those incidents. That's
hey.
My subscription.
Hey,
to
Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, your lawyers came up against mine. Hunga dunga, hunga dunga, hunga dunga, hunga dunga, and hunga dunga. And I won. And then the lawyers took the
$20. That was Lionel Hutz. And I don't know why, because neither you nor I hired him. But my subscription to PW Insider, which in my opinion is the best damn pro wrestling news site, notice I said news, on the known web, my subscription had actually come due. And so, you know, they send me a little note saying, you know, your subscription, it's supposed to just renew automatically because I had it set up via PayPal.
Yeah.
For some reason, PayPal didn't want to do it. They first come up and they said, well, you don't have a credit card attached to this, so we're not going to renew it. We'll try again in 3 days. And Dave Shearer sends me a little note, the guy who runs the site, you know, saying, PayPal declined your thing. It says you need a credit card. Go ahead and do it. I said, okay, I'm on it. Go on there. Sure enough, for whatever reason, my credit cards are expired, or I probably just took them off because I trust PayPal much as I trust Captain Hook to give me a proctology exam. And I... No crickets? Where'd you get the crickets?
The crickets
anyway.
Were there.
Oh, okay. I must not be able to hear them this far north. But I tried to get in there, and I found my subscription, and it has, you know, check off, e-check. Nope, they don't take e-checks. Credit card, they don't take credit cards. Debit card, they don't take debit card. Well, if you're having problems with this subscription, please call PayPal, folks. Never call PayPal. It's an exercise in futility, and it's just annoying. You just get annoyed.
Shouldn't this be
so I had the credit cards on. I let it ride. And then sure enough, the next time it tried to renew it, it said, we haven't been able to renew it, blah, blah, blah. I get a note from Dave. That was a nice note. Your subscription has expired. Hope all things are well, blah, blah, blah. And I went on there. I said, you know, F this. Canceled the subscription. Renewed the subscription online, and it went through beautifully. And I sent Dave a note. I said, you know, I hated Bobby Heenan in the AWA. I hated the guys that turned against Hulk Hogan, and I really hate PayPal. But I was able to get my subscription re-upped. And so if you guys ever have problems with your PayPal subscription, just do what I do. Just cancel the original one and renew it. You know, and I got to have my pro wrestling fix. It'll be interesting when I get home, because my wife and I are thinking about dumping cable/dish. And when that happens, I won't have any means of really getting watching pro wrestling. And if it wasn't for the fact that they do really great interviews with some of the guys I grew up watching, I would have to look at that and go, do I really need a subscription to a pro wrestling website when I am unable to watch pro wrestling? I'll have to think about
that.
Well,
you'll be able, you can watch for $7.99. You can have Hulu Plus. You know, I should look into it and see if, I should see if Hulu will buy an ad.
That's actually a good question. I should send that to the buddies there and say, okay, guys, what if I give up cable and dish? How the hell am I supposed to watch free pro wrestling, not counting pay-per-views and things like that. So,
Ring of Honor.
True.
Spike TV will show Impact on their website.
I don't have, remember, I want to have Spike Impact. I won't have any cable.
You won't need it. You just go to Spike's website.
And that's one thing I will keep, I told my wife. I do want to keep the fast internet, especially after being up here with the incredibly slow internet. That's the other thing I'm geeking on. I'm 5 weeks and I'm home. So it might only be five more podcasts of me in the Great White North.
Okay.
Although you got to admit, doing the phone call thing seemed to work pretty good compared to the last time. And I do notice the internet has gotten better. It's just rationed at the particular hotel I'm at.
The sound on your end, not the greatest in the world.
That's because I'm talking in the cordless phone that probably seemed it's high day in the 80s.
Yeah. So what I'm geeking on...
We suffer through to get you guys this podcast, and we are suffering. Tremendous suffering.
The thing I'm geeking on, well, there are two things. One is a new comic book from Image. It's called Ghosted. The first issue came out about 2-3 weeks ago. I really liked it. It's kind of a crime caper comic. You know, guy is busted out of prison and told you need to put together a crew to go steal something. However, what they're trying to steal is a ghost. They're trying to capture a ghost in a haunted house. And the first issue was a lot of fun with, you know, gathering the characters together and sort of setting up the premise. It's through Image. It's through Robert Kirkman's little corner of Image. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a really good caper story that just happens to have a supernatural element to it. So I really like that. Like everybody else on the planet, Hawkeye, my favorite book. I think I talked a little last time. They did a special issue. Issue 11 was from Pete the Dog's perspective. And issue 12 tells you what's been going on with Hawkeye's brother. So remember how at the end of issue 10, Grills got killed. We still haven't got to that point where Hawkeye has found out about it. We're getting all these side stories that led up to it. So I really like how they're structuring it. Each issue, you can read each issue on their own, and they're fine. But if you read it as a series, it pulls together much more. And then the last thing I'm geeking on, Joe, I said I couldn't do weightlifting, right? I still need to do some exercise, so I am still going to the gym and doing an hour of cardio. But here at home, I am doing DDP's Yoga for Regular Guys.
How's that going?
I really liked it. I started this week. I've only done 3 sessions. You're supposed to do 4 to 5 a week, but I had way too many 12-hour shifts. Are you dying up there?
Well, you know, I mean, it's so dry and dusty. But I sit here and breathe in it while I wait for you to finish your tales of woe.
So I started doing the DDP yoga, the first session. Now, Joe, when you think yoga, you know, I'm a weightlifting guy. I see yoga and it's just stretching. That's not exercise. That's what you do before you exercise. But at the end of the first session, I was dripping with sweat. It's a really good workout. It's done for guys, so there's not a, now you go to lotus position. It's more, okay, you're going to do this. It's based on this. DDP, really good personality. But the thing about the tapes, DDP is a motivational speaker. So with most yoga, you're doing the meditation. With DDP, it's more, all right, you're doing great. You're awesome. You're amazing. You're doing. So really, after you watch it, you feel like, hey, you know what? I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty cool guy. And I need that because I don't get it at work or at home or from the cat or from you.
Oh, from me, you need it.
So we have a topic. At 45 minutes into this here episode, let's talk about
it. 5 minutes sooner than normally.
So I was thinking, I was looking over.
It's
you know, there,
always scary. I mean, because usually Corey only thinks about three things.
Yes.
Well, we all know what it is. I, Christina Hendricks, and the other one will get us kicked off the air.
No. We're on the internet. You can say anything you want and not get kicked off the air. I listen to Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and when Jason Mewes starts telling sex stories, if he could get away with the stories he tells, there's nothing we can't talk about.
I don't want to talk about sex stories. Maybe we could do that in a solo podcast. That's probably most of my life.
So, I was looking over what's coming out. Oh, look, it's two new Spider-Man books. Oh, look, three new Batman
Yay.
Books. Oh, another
Yay.
Another two Green Lantern books.
Yay.
And really, other than Deadpool, there has not been a character created after 1974, when we got Punisher and Wolverine, that has been able to sustain a series for a long period of time. And I just sent an email to Joe saying, well, what minor character or, you know, character that doesn't have a series would you like to see get their own series, even though we all know it won't last too long? And first off,
and you'd think they would, what they used to do is they'd like run a miniseries, and if it sold really well, then graduate that into a regular series. But they tend not to do that. They usually start a series, everybody ignores it, and they just let it die.
Now, was there, when you ran the shop and, you know, books would come out, did customers just kind of ignore them? Or what was the reaction when, you know, here's a new character or here's a character who hasn't had a series in a while? I know with Transformers, when they restarted that, the first few issues sold like hundreds of thousands of copies, but within a year it was back down to no one cared. Or one of my favorite books, The Micronauts. They relaunched that. First few issues, top of the charts, canceled by the 12th issue. Is it people just buy the first issue out of nostalgia, or what do you think causes that?
I think back then a lot of people would just buy the first issue and forget about it. Because that was a phenomenon I always had. Is if somebody at the shop would pick up a first issue, I would ask them, do you want me to put this on your list? And usually it was like, no, if I remember and I'll pick it up. And I said, well, that's the problem. You won't remember it because it'll be 30 days from now and you're going to still have a big stack of comics. That's what led to the G.I. Joe phenomena of issue number two being more valuable than issue number one. Everybody bought issue number one. Nobody came back for issue number two because it sold out, and then they noticed issue number three, they missed issue number two, and it would just go crazy. There is something that, like you said, people would just buy issue number one. But very, very rarely would it hit them in such a way that they would come back and go, hey, I really like that. I got to get issue number two. I looked at it more philosophically because for me, you know, owning a store, I was living comics. I mean, to me, it was important that I know if you have number two. But for the person just buying this, it was just kind of, it was just, they're buying for whatever reason. It was their entertainment. I mean, it's something when I had at the peak, like 300 plus subscribers, yet only maybe 50 or less subscribed to previews. And even then, less would actually order month to month. I mean, I had guys who'd come in And they tried to make it a deal where if you ordered something out of previews and you turn in already, you get the next month free. And guys would just come in and, I didn't turn in an order this month. No, but I'll skip the preview this month. And you're like, well, you know, I want to sell you this stuff. I don't want to just sit on it. And then now I'm out a couple copies of previews, which I paid for anyway, you know. I just figured it was more of a promotional gig than an actual subscription. It's just, people were just laissez-faire about it. It was just something, yeah, if I missed it, I missed it. No big deal. You know, not everybody is like us, hardcore comics, where we want to go in, we have a subscription to it, or we do it online, and we go to a comic store weekly or monthly or whatever. And that's where I think comics failed as a periodical, but they win as a graphic novel. Because now as a graphic novel, someone can just, well, thanks. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Now I don't have to go crazy trying to find back issues. Cause, you know, you go to a comic shop and there's issue 3, 5, 7, and 9, but nothing else, and there's no way to get it. Or you go on eBay and find those single issues, but, you know, yeah, I guess selling it for $1, but, you know, shipping's $5. I'm only paying $6 for a $1 comic. You just go buy the graphic novel. In some ways, that also has hurt. I think we've talked about it. If we haven't, we probably will. You know, the writers write for the graphic novel now. They're not writing like they used to, which was more soap opera-ish, where the stories just tend to go on forever, but there's always a subplot that keeps it going as you're going from fight to fight. And even now, of course, things have kind of drifted into the mega events, you know, where it's like, well, we go from event to event. And that's what's driving the comic sales. So, yeah, I think it was a laissez-faire thing. You know, people are willing to try number one. Very rarely did the number one get so much buzz that you actually had people asking for it. And so a lot of it was you had to try to create awareness. You know, which, again, is part of the job as if you're going to be selling comics for a living. And we did that through various means. You know, we did a hotline, I did a newsletter, it evolved into an email letter. We had a huge grease pencil board that I would call Wonder Board, and I would try to let people know, you know, hey, you like Spider-Man? There's another Spider-Man book, or here comes a miniseries Spider-Man. And sometimes you get promotional posters from Marvel and DC. Most of the time, we would rip promotional posters out of Comics, Wizard magazine, or previews and post it. People come by and go, hey, that Kingdom Come looks kind of good. Maybe you put me down for that, you know? You used to shove comic shop news into people's bags. I'm pretty sure 90% of them just got recycled and ignored. So... And you can't deny, though, I do think there were a lot of people that would just pick up a number one and then never really come back. Because people, they say they want new stuff, they want to be challenged, but they'll always go back to what they've heard before because it's comfortable. You see that same phenomena in alternative radio. You know, most alternative radio stations fail because when they're trying to be alternative, nobody wants to listen to it, but because we all want to go back to what we've heard before. That's why you can turn on any station and hear the 80s, or 90s, or album-orientated rock. Heck, even country stations kind of shrunk because, you know, we don't need to listen to four different country stations. They all play the same thing. So the part of the problem is you. I want you to go stand in front of your mirror, look at it, and point the finger at yourself. The problem is you.
Me?
Yes. No, you. Not me. You.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
But I'm
buying Marvel DC.
I am buying new stuff.
What was it? What was it about like Ghosted?
Yeah. I'm buying Ghosted. I'm buying The Massive. I'm buying Fatale.
And then, of course, nowadays there's a big discussion of, well, it's probably not as big as it was, but the discussion of what is considered an alternative comic. can we say really Walking Dead's an alternative comic, considering it's the best-selling graphic novel and it's the only comic book that's growing? When does best-selling stop becoming best-selling?
I think what it is, if it's not a mainstream superhero book, it's alternative. Because it's not even publishers anymore. You know, Sandman was an alternative book. It was published by DC. Oh, it was under the Vertigo line. It was published by DC. But it wasn't a superhero book that tied in with one of the two big universes. I would argue that Hawkeye is an alternative book. Even though it's a superhero book that's set in the Marvel Universe, it's drawn in a different style. It's told in a different way. It really doesn't tie in with any of the rest of the Marvel Universe. And it tells you right on the first page, Hawkeye's an Avenger. This is what he does when he's not an Avenger.
Creator-driven books, too.
Yeah.
You know, I would even argue like Eric Larson's Savage Dragon. Sure, it's him doing his version of a superhero, but it's its own. He's the sole creator of that. You know, be it Bone or the Cerebus, things like that. You know, anything that's not derivative of the big two. Of course, if you take out the big two, you know, you could have some say, well, I'm not picking up Hawkeye because it's part of the Marvel Universe. Well, I think maybe that label is just obsolete now, you know. Of course, the problem really is getting through all the noise trying to get people interested in things. I mean, and I even go back to, when you came to me at Crazy Comics and you're telling me about this great comic, Walking Dead, go ahead and order a bunch of them. I'll buy them if they don't sell. I mean, you were way ahead of the curve on that one. I think that was about issue 23 or something.
Yeah.
And here we are later. We can't get enough Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And, of course, it happened. I was going to use this as a freaking, but it finally happened. Somebody, in their stupid-ass wisdom of writing an article about Walking Dead and showing off just how much they knew about Walking Dead, the first freaking sentence of their article talked about the main characters that died at the end of season 3. And I was like, I haven't read it. You know, I'm like, what the hell kind of brain dead? And this was one coming out of San Diego, I believe. You know, it's kind of like, you know, there's been a big controversy about Man of Steel. I've been trying to avoid and I haven't watched it. And first sentence out of an article, I don't think Man of Steel, I don't think Superman should kill like he did in Man of Steel.
Aww.
For the love of God. You know, I know it's a fine line between, well, you know, yeah, Rosebud was a sled, but the movie's ancient. You should know that by now. No, not everybody
knows.
It's been
out for a month
and
a half. Good God.
Yeah, everybody should know that. You know, I don't like giving spoilers, and if you do feel the need to, you know, just tell people beforehand. Because I've been ignoring Walking Dead articles. I've been ignoring. Now I just said, fuck it. I went right to Wikipedia and just read. Okay, now I know what happened. I can get into season 4 now.
Have I ever told my one spoiler story how Charles Schultz pissed me off?
You might have. Go ahead.
I'm a kid.
People go back and listen to our old podcast.
I'm a kid, and I absolutely love Peanuts. I have the paperback books. I read it in the paper every day. I, you know, loved it. Loved that strip. And he gives this, I forget what it was, but the punchline was, and Rosebud was the sled. And I have no idea what it is. I asked my mom, she doesn't know. A few years later, I'm in film class. We are going to be watching Citizen Kane. And you've seen Citizen Kane, right, Joe? Movie
starts.
Do you
remember how I saw Citizen Kane?
No,
Citizen Kane?
No, we can tell that in a second. The movie starts with Orson Welles in his deathbed holding the snow globe. He says Rosebud and drops the snow globe. And the movie is about what does Rosebud mean. Thanks to Charles Schulz, I know what it meant immediately. So, Joe, how? What's your story? It's
well,
story
you
time
should
with
remember
Joe.
We were walking through Costco, and I looked at Citizen Kane, and I said, you know, I've never seen this. And you were flabbergasted. You've never seen it.
Yeah.
Charles Schulz ruined this for me. I was like, with that. I'm buying this for you. This was back when Corey had a real job and he could afford to be magnanimous.
And did you watch it?
Of course.
And did you watch it with the Roger Ebert commentary?
No, because I was watching it with Chris and she hates commentary.
Next time you get a chance. If you've seen Citizen Kane and you love the movie, watch it with Roger Ebert's commentary. It is like getting a master's degree in film. He will go through, he gives the history. He talks about why they did certain things, how they did certain things, how they were able to get certain camera shots. All these wonderful, wonderful tidbits. It was one of those where I went to film class and we studied that thing for a week. And then it came out on DVD. I picked it up. I put it in. Oh, Roger Ebert did commentary. And I listened to it, and it's like, oh, my God. If I would have had this when I was in college, I wouldn't have needed that film class because it goes into far more detail than we did in a structured class environment where we spent a week on the damn thing. And it's entertaining because it's Roger Ebert, and he tells great stories. Were we talking about funny books?
They tend to come in and out.
Oh,
okay. Go on.
Well, we're a little over an hour, so Joe, top three characters who don't have books.
Oh yeah,
Let's just do top
you go
three.
First, and now I got to figure out. I got like eight. Now I got to figure out which ones I'd really go for right away.
Okay. In no particular order, Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is one of my favorite characters. He has only had a few clunker issues of his book. I think back, it's, oh, you got the Steve Ditko run, which was incredible, just an incredible run. Still holds up, still just beautiful to look at. Then after he left, the book kind of fell apart until Roy Thomas and Gene Colan took over. Then you had the Steve Englehart run. You had the Steve Englehart run. You had the Chris Claremont run. You had Roger Stern doing a run. Roy Thomas came back. Doctor Strange, always been a very cool book, never been a great seller. Joe Quesada said for a while that he got more pitches for Doctor Strange than any other character. And they've tried a couple of times. They did a J. Michael Straczynski miniseries that kind of did okay. They did a Brian Vaughn miniseries that kind of did okay. I want a Doctor Strange comic. Joe?
I would duplicate that one. And also, I've mentioned this before. I think there's a gentleman goes under the name The Mighty God King. And he has a blog that says, I think it's up to like 35, 36 reasons why he should write Doctor Strange. And he writes it in such a way that he gives you the plot, the seriousness of it, but he doesn't give you the resolution. And he's not just doing fanfic. And he says if he were actually called upon to do a Doctor Strange comic, he would be able to finish it. So if you're bored one night, go check it out. I mean, I go back and I just reread every so often what he writes. It's just phenomenal. I would like to see a comeback of Rom, the Space Knight. There is a site on Facebook where they're working on trying to get Rom back. I mean, it's basically one of those legal quagmires that the character allegedly is owned by Parker Brothers, who I think is owned by Hasbro, yet ROM may be actually owned by the guy who created ROM, because I think they gave him participation rights or something stupid. And, you know, they tiptoed around the whole naming thing. You know, you can't say the word ROM, which I always thought was ridiculous. You can't, you know, they always talked about the greatest of us all, blah, blah, blah. You know, I couldn't help but think the when I finished, there was a storyline going on, I think in one of the X-Men books, where, what's Colossus is called now, Dark Child or something?
When she Magic.
The whole team was in limbo. What is it?
Magic.
Magic. That's what they used to call her, but I thought they renamed her something, because she has now a dark side of her, which we've been seeing more during the Avengers versus X-Men series.
Yeah, she was called Dark Child in the 90s. She was called Dark Child in the 90s, but they have to go back to the name Magic to retain copyright, so she's Magic again.
And she's still kind of a little bitch,
yeah.
No matter how they're writing her. And she basically, the storyline as they left, they were in limbo, which we've seen before in the ROM series, because limbo is where he banished all the dire wraiths to. Assuming it's all the same limbo, they kind of, in ROM, talked that it was the same limbo, because I think Space Phantom, you remember that villain?
Yep.
Came out of limbo. And so now they're in limbo, which it looks more like Dante's hell, and I don't know who the heck they're fighting. But I'd like to have seen a thing where a shadowy figure comes out of the background with this red purple beam that just strikes the villain in the back, and which causes the villain to retreat. And I would like the shadowy figure to go magic to say, you're no longer welcome here. I banish you. And now some move, a different color beam, and all the X-Men get booted out of this universe. This is kind of a throwback to ROM. I think there's a scene like that somewhere in Paradise X, or maybe Universe X, where they talk about there's somebody in limbo that has ROM's neutralizer in that. But I just always thought it'd be fun to have him come back. At very least, they've been trying to get the rights to reprint it, kind of like they did the Godzilla, you know, limited
yeah.
run of Essentials. And have the proceeds go to help Bill, how do you say that name? Mantlo?
Mantlo.
Yeah, because he's just been in bad health. I mean, I think he was in a hit and run or something, and
Yeah, he was struck by a car. And
yeah.
He has traumatic brain injury. And he is pretty much in a facility like the one that I work at. And he has a lot of trouble communicating. Well, we have a resident at the group home who's traumatic brain injury and, you know, a lot of trouble communicating. The personality's not much there because it depends on the brain injury. But his family has said that he does enjoy getting letters. He can understand. He can't read them anymore, but the family will read the letters to him, and he really appreciates those. And I will put in the show notes where you can send a letter. I've sent a couple, just, you know, one when I first found out, and then every so often when I read a story that I really like, I'll send a letter saying, you know, I just read this, and I really appreciate, I really thank you. And I think because I work with people in the same circumstance, I understand that, what's the best way to put this? I empathize, but I also understand that any sort of tie to the outside world is something they really enjoy. So, you know, a family visit, I used to say all the time, you know how you just stop at McDonald's just because, I just want something to shove in my pie hole, and you don't really enjoy it. It's just you do it, and you move on with your life, and you don't think about it. for these residents, if they get to go to McDonald's, it's the biggest thing of the week, and they are happy and they're excited, and then they talk about it all night. It really helps you focus on appreciating the little things. So anything that we can do, I know that they've done some fundraisers to help pay for his care, but they also really appreciate just cards, letters, anything like that, so that there's that feeling of connectedness, both to his past life and the outside world. So Joe wants Rom. My second one, I'm going to go with DC for my second one. And yes, I know he shows up in the back page of every DC comic, but it's not the same. I want Ambush Bug back. The Ambush Bug showcase is the funniest damn thing I own. I can read that anytime I pick it up, just we'll read a random issue out of it. It makes me laugh. Keith Giffen, Robert Lauren Fleming, just hilarious stuff. And when Keith Giffen does humor, I enjoy it. He also did the Justice League with JMD Matias. He's doing a new book called Larfreeze, which is about the Orange Lantern with JMD Matias, and it was really funny. But Ambush Bug is off the chart hilarious. And whenever I read Deadpool, it's like, yeah, this is kind of a low-rent Ambush Bug. Joe, what's your next one?
I would like to bring back the Ultraverse. There's no secret that I've been collecting Ultraverse or trying to. And the one thing it ties back into is the Avengers versus Ultraverse book. And I've talked about this before, so I'll just kind of recap it. And essentially, at the end of that book, it leads with the two universes knowing that each other exists. And they both vow that they're going to do something about it. This isn't the heroes now. This is like the government shadowy figure, which kind of implies that the two are going to war. And shortly after this happened was when the onslaught happened, the whole crossover. And I could see, okay, so anyways, we had a technical glitch, so I'm just trying to, forgive me if I recap what I just said. Maybe Corey will make it disappear in his magic editing skills. But
I will!
So, Marvel Universe, somewhere, I think I was going on and on about how they had this subplot about Nick Fury trying to deal with corruption in S.H.I.E.L.D. And it just went on and on. It like never ended. You know, it was just kind of like Eric Bischoff with the NWO. It just went, it was a great idea, but nobody knew what to do with it. Or nobody wanted to fire the bullet to finally deal with Nick Fury dealing with corruption in S.H.I.E.L.D. So anyways, you could say it happened during that time period, and somebody launched a couple megaton bombs into the Ultraverse, and what they did is they fled to the God Wheel, which is an awesome concept made by Larry Niven, which was basically you had a gigantic wheel in space. The inner wheel was the size of Jupiter's orbit, and in there was a star. Just the incredible amount of landmass that this thing encompassed. I would even retroactively put series like Skull of the Slayer, if you remember that Conan the Barbarian ripoff from the 70s. That's where it happened. You know, any extra-dimensional landmass, with the exception of like Savage Land, that's where it happened. It happened on the God Wheel. They just didn't know it because the thing is so bloody big. So whoever you decide to survive the Ultraverse, and this is, I say this because I know there's legal issues with the creative ownership that are so convoluted that it's easier just to not do the Ultraverse.
But well, not according to our pal Len Straczewski. He says the legal issue is they don't want to pay royalties to the people who created the characters. That's the only legal issue.
Which means, judging by what we know of who's running Marvel right now, the cheapskate he is. But you never know with Disney too. If they're Disney doesn't care what happens with Marvel as long as the end of the quarter, there's money coming out of Marvel, they're happy. And you know, with the movie mainstream Marvel creating all the income, you know, the publisher side, you know, they're just going to kind of wink and nod. They're using the publisher, I think, what they probably are always going to be used for, is mining for movie material. And that's why you're also seeing things we talked about in the past, you know, where a series will just drop out of nowhere because it's just not making any money. They don't feel any obligation to finish a series. They just forget it. Forget about it. So, but, you know, I've got, there are certain things I see, you know, like they did a Nightman Gambit series, and I could see Nightman breaking free to try to find Gambit to let him know, hey, some bad mojo is coming down. This could be like a major summer crossover, too, you know, where you suddenly have these heroes attacking the Marvel Universe. And to me, it would be more compelling than the crap load they tried to roll with us with The Fallen, the whole horror cluster. Because here are characters that are established. They had a universe. They have, you have, you know, given a motivation to attack. And what's better than revenge, as you know. And, you know, Corey and I have talked about, you know, comic heroes, for the most part, don't kill. That should be, I actually thought that was really good until I read the Superior Spider-Man, where Wolverine's sitting around talking to everybody in the Avengers, how they're all aghast that Spider-Man killed, you know, because they don't realize that Dr. Octopus inside. And Wolverine's like, what are you talking about? We're all killers in this room. Thor, Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Woman, Black Widow, you know, whoever was at the table had killed in the past. Whether they kill now or not, it's a different subject. But they've all killed in their past. They may have been justified about it. But to suddenly say, to start condemning Spider-Man because he killed a mass murderer who would 10 times out of 10 going to kill someone else unless he was put down. Hey, how about that? I just did what I bitched about. I just gave away a spoiler. But now you can take all these heroes and twist them around because their whole homeworld just been nuked. They've been living the past 2 decades on this god world, which isn't the most hospitable place. And it's a place where you've had Thor's been there, Loki's been there. There have been other heroes that have had brief interactions with the Ultraverse universe. So there's history you could mine there. But, you know, we don't want to pay royalties. Never mind. That's my pipe dream. Corey, what's your number three? You're on three now, aren't you? Yeah, you are.
Yep, we're at the third one, the last one. I was thinking about all of those comic series from the 80s that I really enjoyed. And I had to boil it down to Crossfire. By Mark Evanier and Dan Spiegel. It started as a spinoff of the DN Agents, and very quickly the superhero costume was put away, and it focused more on the character as a private investigator in Hollywood. So Evanier got to write mysteries, tying in with what he knows about movies and TV. It lasted around 24 issues. Marvel then hired the team. It didn't sell well enough to continue. Marvel hired the team to do a series at Epic that lasted 5 issues called Hollywood Superstars, which was pretty much the same ground, but the characters were a little different. And Evanier often jokes it was Marvel's least selling book until they did Street Poet Ray. And when I met Evanier in San Diego,
my comic project. I'm pretty sure I've got Crossfire. I know I got Hollywood Superstars. I might even have that Street Poet Ray somewhere in the bowels of my collection.
I actually took my issues of Hollywood Superstars to get signed because Evanier kept using the joke that nobody bought it but him and his relatives. So I took it up to him and said, I'm not a relative. I bought all 5 issues. He's like, you're the one. But I would love to get Crossfire back because I enjoyed the lead character. And Evanier was really good about putting together solid mystery stories set in the entertainment industry. So really obscure, but I really, really like that book. Joe, you're number three.
I've been able to find a lot of them in the quarter box. So start digging, people. Do you still got other characters, Corey? You want to give your honorable mentions?
Well, there's Nexus, Badger, John Sable, Freelance. At Marvel, you mentioned Skull the Slayer. I've read those issues, and while they're a god-awful mess, there's tons of ideas in there that somebody like Matt Fraction or Bendis could use and build a really cool story. Over at DC, they're pretty much dredging up everything. But any of the Kirby characters, the fact that there is not a New Gods book and there is a Green Team book is a crime. I also really like Commandy. I think a Commandy book would be a lot of fun. Over at Marvel, Next Wave, Next Wave, Next Wave, Next Wave.
All right, I guess I can cross Next Wave off my list.
The fact that they only did 12 issues of Next Wave breaks my heart. And it's one of those books that sold well enough to continue, but it didn't sell well enough to justify the salary that Warren Ellis and, oh, who was the artist on it? No, I can't remember the artist's name. It didn't sell well enough to justify their advances, so that's why it ended. But, oh, what a great book that was. Next Wave was just too much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, Joe, you're number three.
I'll rattle down my honorable mentions. It could be because I'm currently watching the series, Terry Anderson's UFO from the mid-70s. One thing I like to do, I know that the big thing now is to revamp for the new generation. I kind of like to just do continuations. Yeah, the UFO original stories happened in the 70s. The attack stopped. Now, in the Gary Anderson universe, that led to Space 1999. I would kind of do a twist on it. Yeah, they built the Moonbase Alpha, but for whatever reason, when the nuclear hit, explosion happened, it didn't rip the moon out of the orbit, but now the UFOs are back. And so they have to reorganize Shadow. They have to re-get the technology. They have to get the whole organization going. It's been 30 years since. It's fun to watch the show because it was done in the early 70s, but it took place in 1980. You're watching all the futuristic disco go-go outfits they wore because that's obviously what war needs. So
you have to go fast forward.
The one thing they never described, they never explained on the original show, was why these aliens attacked. There were some horrific things they discovered, that the aliens were made up of different body parts, so they were coming down to harvest humans for whatever reason. But they never were able to get to the planet, and the attacks just stopped. So they never, you know, they just kind of think, well, they must have died off. Well, I figured out an actual horrific reason why the aliens attacked. And it has something to do with the Space 1999 thing. And since this will never happen, I don't mind spitting the idea out. The planet that the original UFO attacks come from was actually a displaced moon base. And these attacks are coming from this alternate timeline moon. There's human people, they're dying, and they're twisted, and they're attacking Earth. And that's why the original attack started. That's why they look humanoid. That's why they wanted human parts, because that was the only way they could survive. And of course, now you have the big questions. Well, what happened to that moon that, you know, you tie in the whole Space 1999 timeline and thing? It just a wonderful cluster that I think would be a lot of fun. And I just read from San Diego, apparently IDW is losing the Doctor Who license. They're letting it go at the end of next year. I'd like to see Doctor Who get picked up. I'd like to see it get picked up in the Marvel Universe. I'd like to see the Ass Dalek invasion of the Marvel Universe. And, of course, Doctor Who appears to save the day. I've always liked the character Death's Head. We talked about him in the past under obscure characters, so we won't get too much farther. And the last property, again, this might be because I just finished watching a movie called Legends of the Ranger, which was the last Babylon 5 project ever done, which was fun. I can't help but think with all the properties and promises that, you know, Warner Brothers, every so often they dangle the carrot out in front of Straczynski. Hey, should we do some more Babylon 5? And, of course, it never happened because Warner Brothers is just dysfunctional. You know, here they have an established sci-fi property they can exploit the way Paramount does Star Trek, and they just refuse to pull the trigger. Well, start in comic form, you know, and you could make, again, this might have a problem where you might have too many talking heads or whatever, but I think, if anything, Peter David's proven you can get the right artist to the right creator team that understands the property, they can make it work. Peter David's run in Star Trek worked, whereas other people's didn't, because it just broke off in the technobabble talking heads and blah, blah, blah. The property I would love to bring back, and it's already a property that's being handled by another publisher, but I have a distinct storyline in my brain, again, fan fiction I would run. I like the original Battlestar Galactica. And I'm even to the point where I would start it with, like, Galactica 2013. In other words, yes, Galactica 80 happened. Because one of the main characters and one of the subplots that they used to run in that show, and I don't expect you folks to go find this anywhere because it was a god-awful mess. They incorporated time travel somehow, because they're mystic. What was that kid's name? Dr. G, played by about a dozen different people. He created time travel. But he wasn't smart enough to notice that the Cylons would attack Earth. And that's how the series would start. 2013, we're being wiped out by the Cylons. So you use time travel, go back, and what he's looking for is the only episode worth watching in Galactica 1980. The last episode starred Dirk Benedict. I think it was called Return of Starbuck. It was actually, I believe, a storyline from Had Galactica been approved as Battlestar Galactica for the second season. I may be wrong on that. But that's who this guy has to go back to get. To get Starbuck, save him from the planet he was abandoned on. And they pick the Apollo, called him Troy. It's played by the actor who was part of One Adam 12. Also appeared on Farscape. Ah, I wish I had internet that worked. I could have all these names ready for you. But that's what Google's for, people. This is an interactive podcast. You do the work, and you just sit out there.
We just babble.
Anyway,
I just bellyache.
Yeah. I would tie these books, I would tie this series into Richard Hatch's wonderful series of novels where he envisioned what, for lack of, even he calls it, Battlestar Galactica Next Generation. He says, it's not a title he would stick with, but thanks to Star Trek, it gets the concept across right away, where you have the original cast or whoever survived, fast forward them a number of years. Because the books are fun if you can find them. And you should be able to go to your half-price store on eBay and find them. And, I went to his website because they have to be read in a certain order. And what was really hard about reading them is that they're not numbered 1, 2, 3, 4. So I had to use, like, the copyright dates and try to figure out which one falls in which circuit. He does different ideas. Like, he's got the daughter of Starbuck and Cassiopeia. They're not together, but the daughter's there. And, of course, the daughter's fallen in love. It has kind of a quasi-love affair going, love-hate relation with Troy. We knew him as Boxy, the annoying kid in sci-fi.
Okay.
And the books are fun. But that would be kind of the idea I would go with. Or if you, I think Richard Hatch has online kind of a similar thing where he, when he was trying to sell the property about Battlestar Galactica to Universal about bringing it back, and he actually has a 30-minute movie he was able to piece together where he used to show snippets of 4 minutes, which I believe you can go look at online. And using whatever CGI he could, he was actually to get some of the original actors back. Unfortunately, a lot of them have passed away since then. And yeah, it's just a wonderful concept, I think, just Battlestar Galactica, the next generation. And where I'm kind of one of those guys, I think Alan Moore says that all stories happen. I like to tie in all the different loose threads and just make a coherent story. And this one I actually imagine would just be like a 12-issue series, because I can't envision going a long story. Just something to whet the appetite, to get in book form. I do see they are coming out, I guess, with more classic Battlestar Galactica. So, and, you know, the concept could still be valid, or it could just be me pining for a series of my youth that I actually enjoyed.
Well, there we go. Yeah. Well, we've spent about an hour and a half talking about funny books and yoga and feeling up hot young babes at the TSA and all sorts of things.
There is just so much more to us than just comics.
I know. By the way, going to give a bit of a teaser for the next solo podcast, Joe. Guess who got a letter printed in Wolverine number 6? Guess who got a letter? Yep. Wolverine number 6, I have a letter printed.
Wow. Cool.
And
now,
I was notified.
I
was notified of this by Mr. Peter Rios of the Daily Rios fame. So why is that a tease? Well, I guess you'll have to listen and find out.
Or just go, you know, preempt them and go pick up your copy of Wolverine 6 and read it.
Well, that's only part of the puzzle.
So you folks here have homework. This here podcast gives homework.
There you go. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Somebody hit my music. Come on, mama, it's dancing time.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, 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 yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.